Kyle Busch rides out of St. Louis with his third win of the 2023 season. Plus, Jill Gregory of Sonoma Raceway visits with us next, right here on Fast Talk.
It's Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. By Coca-Cola. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Take a taste and see. And Sunoco. Whether you're heading to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco Ultratech. Now here's your host for Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Greetings, everyone. I'll be joined, of course, by Brad Gilley and Alexis Erickson. And a little bit later on in the show, the general manager from Sonoma Raceway, Jill Gregory, will be talking about the fact that NASCAR is ready to pay that beautiful road course a visit next weekend. On the show, we're going to be looking into the world of penalties. NASCAR is handing them out in a very generous way. Do we now have a favorite for the championship? Don't know. We'll chat about that. And, of course, we'll break down what went on at Worldwide Technology Park. By the way, it's not lost on the irony that technology failed big time at WWW Raceway. So, all of that and a lot more. Brad Gilley, quick takeaway, hot take, so to speak, of what went down in St. Louis with Kyle Busch getting his third win.
Well, for Kyle Busch, good for him. A dominant weekend. He went out there and won the pole fairly handily and went out and led the most laps, won stage one, second in stage two, all around a great day. But a bit of a disjointed day. I mean, he had to survive five restarts within the last 40 laps of that race. Two of those cautions before the restarts actually brought out red flags and then an overtime finish. And you know what? He went up against some of the best, and good for him on picking up that third win of the year.
Alexis, after 15 races on your bingo card, did you have Kyle Busch with three wins?
No, I did not. I mean, look, I knew that him going to RCR was going to be a good thing for both him and Richard Childress Racing, but I will not admit that I thought that they would win this much this often into the season. I really just didn't. I'm not sure anybody did. I mean, obviously Kyle Busch is a very talented race car driver, but RCR, even though they had some wins last year with Tyler Reddick there, they've kind of been in a rebuilding mode, and I just didn't think they were going to hit their stride so early on, but they clearly have. And you know, when you say disjointed, Brad, the only thing I can think of in those last, I don't know, 30 laps and all those restarts was poor Randall Burnett. You know, he looked like he had a migraine that he was dealing with there at the end and all those restarts, but they came out on top.
Kind of reminds me of the Springsteen song, Glory Days, They'll Pass You By. Apparently that was the theme song for Childress for a while. Not so much anymore. They get to put that on the shelf as the glory days seem to be right in front of them right now with three wins for Kyle Busch. Kyle says this success this year, not all that surprising.
The team is really on a high. The whole organization's been really fighting hard and doing a great job. So everybody back at RCR at the shop and ECR, the engine shop, has been doing great and just been so welcoming and really cool to be able to go out there and succeed for them and to give them back what all the hard work they're putting in is doing.
And, of course, Richard Childress, no stranger to winning titles, says Kyle fits right in.
Anytime we can give him a car capable of winning, he's going to win with it. And I think he just did a great job. Those last three or four or however many it was restarts, you know, I felt they were pretty tough, but I knew he would be able to do his job.
So he survived, as Brad Gilley pointed out, five restarts. Brad, what does this say about the last couple of years with Kyle Busch at Joe Gibbs Racing when they were sort of wandering around in the desert?
You know, it's interesting because the offseason, people are like, oh no, Kyle Busch must have downgraded going from Joe Gibbs Racing to Richard Childress Racing. And I thought, Kyle only won one race last year, and that was the dirt at Bristol. The number eight car with Tyler Reddick won three. Is he really taking a step down? Now, fast forward, in 15 races, Kyle has won three in this car before Tyler Reddick had even won his first one last year. And all of Joe Gibbs Racing has the same amount of wins as one Kyle Busch right now. So maybe it does say something about where he was versus where he is.
So Alexis, is it too early to know whether Toyota or Chevy won the swap for Tyler Reddick and Kyle Busch changing nameplates?
I don't think so. I mean, you have to look at where we are right now. You have to look at the present. And if we're judging based off of that, then I would say definitely Richard Childress Racing and Chevrolet. I mean, you know, it's not lost on me or you guys either. I'm sure that Chevrolet is having a fantastic year altogether. I mean, look at what Hendrick Motorsports is doing in Chevrolet, and they seem to be the class of the field. And obviously, RCR is going to see the effects of that too. But yeah, I would say right now, Kyle Busch and RCR are winning.
I want to get some random points about this race in particular. Brad Gilley, first of all, brake rotors were exploding like fireworks. I guess NASCAR's got to go back to the drawing board on this one.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing, and apparently in hearing from Randall Brunetta after the race, teams do have a couple of different choices of what they can do, but they are all still the single source supplied parts. And apparently what happens at Gateway is because the straightaways are so long, the brakes actually cool off enough that when they hit the brakes, and they do very hard there with the tight turns, they heat up. And the heating and cooling and heating and cooling is what had a major negative effect on them, because the new braking system that they have actually works better when it's within a certain hotter heat range, which is sort of counterintuitive to what we used to hear when, oh, you can't overheat the brakes. Well, you need to keep heat in the brakes. And I guess that was a hard thing to do yesterday at Gateway.
Yeah, but especially hard lick for Noah Gregson when his exploded. It also took out Carson Hocevar, who was having a nice run in the number 7 for Spire Motorsports, which, Alexis, leads us to the Corey LaJoie story. So much was made about Corey LaJoie replacing a suspended Chase Elliott. I think he finally soldiered on, came home 21st, but I think a lot more maybe unfair expectations were around Corey going in.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to kind of think about, you know, his experience level in that car, and with him having just as many starts in the next-gen car for Spire as anybody else on the racetrack, I thought he maybe would have come up to speed in that 9 car a little quickly than, say, like a Josh Berry who's been in there, you know, previously this year. So it was a little surprising to me. I think maybe nerves got to him a little bit. There was a situation where he accidentally shut the car off at the beginning of the race, had some struggles in practice and qualifying. So, you know, some things I'm sure he wish he could have brushed off and had a little bit better finish, but he's got the experience and, you know, certainly got the media attention to go with it. So maybe it'll still be beneficial for him in the long run.
Got to remember, these drivers are human. That was an unenviable situation that he was put in. The expectation was, okay, we're putting you in one of the best cars. Go out and turn in one of your best days. He did okay, it's fair to say. Driver introductions at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Denny Hamlin walks out with his daughter on stage and gets booed the most of any driver. Here's Denny's reaction.
You know, I've just got that role right now, so it's just going to have to deal with it.
Okay, Brad, I think that role has to do, too, with the fact that your tangle with Chase Elliott got NASCAR's most popular driver suspended for a week.
Look, and I'll go back to the original tangle with Chase Elliott a few years ago at Martinsville Speedway. Denny here recently kind of wants to, you know, sort of brush off the boos. Oh, they like Kyle Larson better than me, or this or that. No, Denny, they've been booing you for a long time, actually. And it does go back to Martinsville. He was getting booed at his home track in Richmond after that. And Doug, you and I sat up there during driver intros during the All-Star race. Same reaction for him. Same reaction as far as boos go for a lot of drivers. It's interesting to see the way each one of them handles the boos. Denny seems to be in a bit of denial right now about exactly why people are booing him, and I don't know that it's just based on one incident.
Alexis, a guy that used to get booed a lot, soundly, longly, was Kyle Busch. Yesterday he wins, he comes out, he does the classic bow, nobody's throwing beer cans at him, they're not booing him, he's getting cheered. What's going on here?
Look, anything's possible, right? I mean, that, you know, if you would have asked me several years ago if he was going to win a race and get mostly cheers and maybe a small smattering of boos, I would have said, you're crazy, it's Kyle Busch. You know, he wears the biggest black hat of everybody in NASCAR, but clearly it's happened. Obviously, his change from Toyota to Chevrolet, from Joe Gibbs Racing to RCR, you know, it has gotten a lot of people on his side. He's had a bit of a role reversal, and it's kind of interesting, you know, little case study to watch and see how he is becoming a fan favorite. I mean, even Mike Joyce said it on the broadcast. This is a popular win. And if you watched the race yesterday and listened to what was happening in the crowd, there was no denying it was a pretty popular win.
Brad, is this a result of space dust from racing for Richard Childress and the legacy that that team has as opposed to being a Toyota driver?
You know what? I do think there is a lot that that has to do with, for sure. I mean, look, he did get booed at the All-Star race. It's not like he's getting universal cheers, but that crowd has seemed to enjoy him. But I would agree. I would agree. I actually had talked to someone post-race that says, oh, I live in Welcome, and boy, it's been hard, but now it's kind of nice to be able to cheer for Kyle Busch because he, in that situation at least, is part of the hometown team. And yeah, I mean, when you're out there winning for RCR and doing it pretty handily like he did at Gateway, it's kind of interesting to see the turnaround. We'll see how far that turnaround continues to shift.
I think it's gonna stick.
Yeah, I think so too. It's funny because I think about how many fans, specifically RCR fans, at one point in their fandom, you know, booed Kyle Busch and said, oh, you know, Kyle Busch, not my driver, blah, blah, blah. And now they're out buying Kyle Busch merchandise and number 8 hats and t-shirts and cheering for him when he gets out of the car, because he's doing what a lot of drivers, you know, in recent history have not been able to do at RCR, and that's win races.
Yeah, helping bring them back to prominence. Guy's got to trade in all the black hats now. Time now for the Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com at Worldwide Technology Park in the Enjoy Illinois 300. The highest finishing Toyota was Denny Hamlin in second, fifth with Martin Truex Jr. Christopher Bell was 11th. 20th was Ty Gibbs. Bubba had a better day going, had problems late. He wound up 30th, and 35th goes to Tyler Reddick, and that's your Toyota Performance Report. Penalties, big ones. NASCAR is handing them out regularly. We'll talk about that next.
Coke Zero Sugar tastes so good, people will take a taste any way they can. You never know when your best friend will lunge across the table and grab for it. A stranger could subtly swipe it. Or your little brother might just ask for one too many sips. So, no matter what you're doing or who you're with, when you're enjoying a Coke Zero Sugar, be ready to protect it from takers at all times. Because one sip begs the question, is this the best Coke ever? Take a taste and see.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey there, it's Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on ZMAX Racing Country Classic.
Hey, we're back. Come on to Nashville. It's Kathy and Vince Gill.
Who do you find it hardest to keep up with, musicianship-wise?
I just feel like an adequate guitar player compared to some of the people that I just love and admire and really think are spectacular. The majority of the people that I learned to play the instrument from are still around.
ZMAX Racing Country Classic.
I've been driving trucks for a long time. Safety is my number one priority. I know that my truck has huge blind spots. That's why I remember to check my mirrors often for smaller vehicles. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're behind the wheel, try to avoid lingering in those blind spots. It can be dangerous. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Thrilled here at Fast Talk to be sponsored by Coca-Cola. Coke Zero Sugar tastes so good, people will take a taste any way they can. So when you're enjoying a Coke Zero Sugar, be ready to protect it, because one sip begs the question, is this the best Coke ever? Take a taste and see. I've actually got some stashed under the desk here. All right, penalties have been a big part of the storyline. We were focused on the penalty that sidelined Chase Elliott going into Worldwide Technology Raceway. And then the next day, NASCAR announces a monster penalty against Chase Briscoe for putting in a counterfeit part. Briscoe says, yeah, I guess my name's associated with that now.
I know. I mean, I think that we're all a team, right? So, yeah, it's my name that gets, I get put on the penalty, but we're all a team. I believe in those guys. You know, I make mistakes every single weekend in the car multiple times. So, you know, mistakes happen. I got their back just like I know they have my back. So that's part of it.
Alexis, I guess that is part of it. You're the front man for the whole organization in good and in bad.
Mistake. I'm not sure that would be the word that I would use for trying to get away with a counterfeit part. But yeah, I mean, I understand his sentiment. And what else is he going to say there? You know what I mean? It is what it is. He understands that. And, you know, I think he probably just wants to move on. But yeah, I mean, obviously NASCAR is continuing to prove that they are not going to put up with you either tampering with already existing parts or trying to get away with your own counterfeit part. I mean, clearly this is the biggest penalty we've seen so far. Lots of money, lots of points, lots of weeks suspended from the racetrack. So will the teams see this and say, okay, we're not going to continue down this road? I don't know. Probably not. We'll probably see more of these as we go along, but they're doing their best to kind of try to sideline it. I don't know if it's going to help, though.
So Brad Gilley, it was 125 points, 25 playoff points, $250,000. His crew chief, Johnny Klossmeyer, put on hiatus for 6 weeks for a counterfeit underwing part. Did the punishment fit the crime here in your mind?
Absolutely. Yeah. NASCAR has said, look, these are all single source supplied parts and you're going to use them just like you get them from the manufacturer. And I think they have ramped up. But it's been one thing where teams have modified parts. If you have a full counterfeit part, which is not the first time Stewart Haas Racing has done that, mind you, if you can go back and remember when Kevin Harvick had a spoiler on the car, that was a counterfeit part as well. That penalty was less severe at the time. But this effectively is almost a championship killing penalty. Just simply because, forget about the points. They were probably in a must-win situation anyway. The 25 playoff points that they use, they would literally have to win their way through every single round. Because remember, every round, everything resets. And then you reset minus 25 playoff points, and that really puts your back against the wall. Here's the other thing. They were awful in the Coca-Cola 600. They were not good at all. And they had a counterfeit part, they might be looking in the wrong direction right now.
That is such a good point. It did not help them at all. And then you think about, you know, what they're facing now with all of these penalties. It kind of makes you wonder, I mean, I guess you got to try it to find out. But yeah, not helpful.
I mean, Kevin Harvick's having a decent season. We've talked about him a lot. He's doing okay. I don't know if he's going to be a title contender when we get down to it, but he's having a decent year right now. Harvick sits third in points, so yeah, that's okay. But Alexis, it's like the rest of Stewart Haas doesn't exist.
Yeah, and I really don't know how to explain that. I mean, obviously, when you look at the four car, you have the Kevin Harvick factor, and clearly he is a very good race car driver, championship-winning race car driver. Rodney Childers on the pit box, also somebody who is most likely going to find himself in the NASCAR Hall of Fame eventually. But, you know, it is hard to understand exactly why, you know, the rest of that organization is just struggling so mightily. But you can talk about the fact that Ford altogether, you know, minus Blaney's win in the 600 recently, has had some struggles as well, and kind of, you know, point to that. But I think they're probably wishing they knew exactly what the problem was too, so that they could pinpoint it and fix it. But at this point, I think it's still a mystery.
In the standings, the rest of Stewart Haas Racing: Eric Almirola 25th, 27th to Ryan Preece, and Chase Briscoe is now 31st after that whopping penalty. We had a penalty, of course, against Chase Elliott for his contact with Denny Hamlin, the Coca-Cola 600. Now Austin Dillon's chirping after Worldwide Technology Raceway that Austin Cindric needs to stay home.
I was wrecked intentionally by him, hooked right, just like Chase and Denny and Bubba's deal. He better be suspended next week.
Me too. Okay, Brad Gilley. Is anybody going to be allowed to race next week?
Yeah, that to me looked more like a racing incident. Maybe I'll have to go back and look over it again. But this is, to me, I was wondering what the consequences would be of this. And I thought, well, I think NASCAR's just sent the message. You can door someone into the wall, do that all day, and don't worry because they can't retaliate, what that would do to that. But for anyone who gets hit on the racetrack when there are a bunch of cars racing 3 and 4 wide trying to find the same spot on the track, I don't know that you can just sort of raise your hand and say, it was me. People are going to start crying wolf. At least that's the way I saw the incident.
We'll see how this plays out as we're recording this show. NASCAR said, yeah, we'll go ahead and look into it. I kind of feel for him in this case, Alexis, because this is quickly turning into a trend.
Yeah, I mean, they have put themselves into a bit of a predicament with these, because I think you're probably going to have more drivers speaking up like, hey, if this happened, in XYZ incidents, it should happen here too. But you really have to look at them as individual instances. And I agree with Brad. When I look at what happened between Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin, and then I look at what happened between Austin Cindric and Austin Dillon, I do not see the same thing. I do believe that it was right for Chase Elliott to be sat out a week. I don't think the same thing needs to happen to Austin Cindric, but NASCAR is going to take a look at it and they're going to decide what they think should happen.
All right. I'm just curious if either one of you guys, Briscoe got the big penalty, the big fine. Why did NASCAR not go ahead and have him sit down a week?
I don't know.
If it's
crew
that,
chief got 6 weeks.
Yeah. But, he'll be on the phone from home.
Yeah, but Chase Elliott is the one that took out Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
Chase Briscoe is not the one that counterfeited a part and stuck it to the bottom of the race car. Johnny Klausmeyer, who is responsible for that car, he might not have been the one who did that, but he's responsible for the car. So I think you punish and penalize the one that is responsible. And in that case, Chase Briscoe wasn't responsible for an illegal race car at all.
All right, here's my cringe question of the week. Maybe that should be a new category.
Wait, do you mean there's only going to be one this week?
No, just one. Easy. How far up the chain of command at Stewart Haas Racing was it known that they were cheating at this magnitude? And it's cheating, folks. They had a counterfeit part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Does it stop at the crew chief? Is it stop at the car chief?
If you ask them,
Greg Zipidelli is the one who commented on it and said it was a mistake. It never should have happened. I can't imagine that if you're
but it wasn't a mistake.
Look, if you're working in that direction, obviously that was built somewhere, or it was at least modified somewhere within the race shop. And if that was going on, I don't know that there are too many closed doors back there that say a director of competition or lower couldn't walk behind and go, what are you working on? Yeah. I can't imagine that was a single person
making
doing a
single
act.
Making a new part over here that didn't come in on the truck. Okay, yeah. So anyway, who is the favorite now? We're 15 races in. Do we have a clear picture of who we're thinking is going to be in the final four? We'll chat about that next. Plus, we'll be talking Sonoma with Jill Gregory coming up.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer. And again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-218-4909. 800-218-4909. 800-218-4909. Again, that's 800-218-4909.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
To pull down on the handle, a and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Fast Talk here on PRN, Performance Racing Network. Jill Gregory from Sonoma Raceway joins us shortly. We'll be headed out there for the Toyota Save Mart 350. Plus, we'll be having Xfinity action at Sonoma for the first time ever. So excited about that. Brad, we are 15 races into the year. Do you have one or two people that have emerged now, possibly as championship favorites? We've got a decent sample size.
Oh, yeah. I'll say William Byron, even though not all of his three wins have necessarily come from dominant performances. And really the only other one that I think has run well consistently, even though he's probably missed more opportunities to win than he's taken, is Kyle Larson. Those are the two that jump out to me. But maybe as you can tell in my voice, I'm even a little bit hesitant to name that because I don't know that anyone has grabbed that flag and started waving it like, this is my trophy, come take it.
Okay.
Yeah, this.
I know what he did there. That's your Texas come take this cannon story, isn't it?
Come and take it. That's right.
All right, go ahead, tell people since I did that to you unfairly.
Well, the battle for Texas independence actually started in Gonzales, Texas. And back then, Mexico had given Gonzales a cannon to protect themselves. But as they were going for the territory, they were coming to get the cannon. And the citizens of the town in Gonzales basically created that flag and said, we'll come and take it. Basically saying, no, we're going to protect our territory. And that's what started the whole battle for Texas independence, which went to the Alamo and then ultimately led to Sam Houston capturing Santa Anna and Texas being a united state at this point.
All right.
I think a whole lot of people just learned something.
I think so. See, look at that. How do you get, you don't get that on a lot of sports
and
talk.
By the way, the come and take it cannon is like literally about this big.
Yeah, it's tiny.
Not like some massive cannon. Yeah, it's maybe 2.5 feet long, if that.
You could have a replica in your man cave if you wanted to, easily.
Yes.
You know, I certainly agree with Brad that I don't think there's anybody yet this season. You know, there's been a lot of ebbing and flowing of who's been good and who, you know, and there hasn't been that one person. Or, you know, many years ago we had the big three and it was like, if you weren't in the big three, then you weren't somebody that people were thinking of as being a title contender. I don't know if we have that this season either. We do have some that have flexed the muscle. You talked about William Byron. Clearly with three wins, he has flexed the muscle. You have to look at Kyle Busch. He's also has three wins now, you know, and flex the muscle. But when it comes to just being consistent week in and week out, you know, we haven't really had that exactly. Kyle Larson, I believe, is also somebody that has to be up there when, you know, on the list when you're talking about who could be a title contender. But honestly, if you wanted me to give you my final four right now, I would need a minute.
Okay. So let me ask this. The great Leonard Nimoy, besides playing Mr. Spock on Star Trek, also voiced a show called In Search Of.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be In Search Of the Loch Ness Monster, In Search Of Bigfoot.
That.
It was a great show.
He did
the marvelous job voice tracking it. So right now, I'm in search of Ross Chastain.
Yeah.
What have they done with Ross Chastain?
I don't know.
I want my Watermelon Man back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a really great question. I'm not exactly sure. We had some text conversation between you and myself and Hank Lee, who's also a part of the team yesterday. And that was one of the questions we posed in the group chat is where is Ross? Yeah, he's taking. He's in the ebb, I think, of the ebb and flow.
Is the ebb below par?
I think so. Okay.
For what it's worth, it sounded like he had damage yesterday when he and Michael McDowell connected, because Ross was driving his way up through the top 10 at that point and then went backwards. There is a part of me that wonders, after the whole incident with Kyle Larson at Darlington, if maybe, you know, it's one thing to calm someone down. The one thing you don't want to do is just neuter them in their performance and, you know, worry about that. It looked like he was being Ross Chastain again, driving to the front until that happened. Then he just sort of hung out at the back. Don't know if it was damage or, I need to buy some more credits here.
I'm concerned.
Maybe he's doing it on purpose because, and listen, I know that sounds crazy, but like he's staying out of the limelight a little bit. Mm-hmm. There were weeks there where it was everywhere you turned, people were talking about Ross doing this wrong or Ross doing that wrong. Maybe he's just taking a step back and keeping himself out of the spotlight for a little bit.
You may be correct. And Brad, we were at North Wilkesboro. No Ross Chastain there. No Ross Chain in this Coke 600. And there wasn't a single watermelon
seen. He's taking a breath.
Yeah. Well, look, it is watermelon season, though.
That's true.
And I'll tell you, last year, his teammate was able to get the win at Sonoma Raceway. We know Ross is pretty much good anywhere that we've seen, and even on road courses. So maybe this is the weekend he goes out to California and we all celebrate.
Is there such thing as watermelon wine?
I would imagine there is.
Probably. It sounds disgusting, but I guess there is.
Maybe watermelon shine.
Watermelon products that aren't watermelon.
I know. You have a thing.
Awful.
You have a thing about artificial watermelon
chewing
artificial
gum.
Watermelon flavor.
Yes.
It's not your
because
you're not
it's
a fan.
Artificial.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree.
I love watermelon. I don't want to be casting aspersions on the great. Is it a fruit or a vegetable? I think it's a fruit.
It's a vegetable. It has seeds, right? And vegetables,
Brad,
have seeds?
I thought fruits do too. I mean, tomatoes are fruit. It has seeds. We're growing watermelons right now in our garden,
okay,
by the way.
I'm the wrong way. You're right. The fruits have seeds.
So it is a fruit.
It's a fruit.
Okay, we're being told in our ears now that it's a fruit.
I
know. See, look what you've learned in this segment, folks, that watermelon is a fruit, that fake watermelon is awful, and that there was a cannon in Texas and it wasn't really
big. Come take it.
So, and you couldn't have it. So there you go. That's all we've learned. And up next, we visit the great state of California and Jill Gregory talking about Sonoma Raceway.
Unit 20, what's your location?
Yeah, we're one pump over from the suspect. He's fueling up at Sunoco.
Are you going to apprehend the suspect?
Negative. We're fueling up too.
With new Sunoco Go Rewards, when you fuel, you save. So drop what you're doing. Because rewards come first.
10-4, Unit 20. I'm heading over for rewards, too.
Download the Sunoco app. Sunoco. Fuel your best.
Terms and conditions apply.
The Night Race. It's as American as Uncle Sam deadlifting 350 while drinking a Busch Light outside his camper in a national park. It's as American as Dale Earnhardt rattling Terry's cage. It's the Bass Pro Shops Night Race at Bristol Motor Speedway, and it's a cutoff race in the NASCAR playoffs. Be there Saturday, September 16th. Get a weekend package today at bristolmotorspeedway.com and see Dale Jr. race on Friday night in the Food City 300. It's not just a race.
It's Bristol, baby!
I'm Martin Truex Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Are the old school fans hoping that poor attendance in these new places will force NASCAR to move the whole schedule back to its southeastern roots? Well, that horse left the barn a long time ago and the barn burned down.
So much of this is right place, right time, and just being fortunate enough to avoid the calamity.
Not every sporting event is going to have a great ending. We have to live with that and celebrate the history. And to me, Indianapolis belongs on the Oval.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
The grassroots is where the hometown heroes of Friday and Saturday nights are and where the future stars of NASCAR are made. The stories and journeys from the grassroots are always unique. Whether it was the excitement of her championship at the track her grandparents helped build, the loneliness of his first win without his father there to hug him in victory lane, or the track their mama warned them about, PRN's At the Track covers the people of America's baddest bull rings. PRN's At the Track, relentless passion for grassroots racing.
We'll be right back. the PRN team, or as we get called, the PRN gang. I'm not sure when we got that title, but anyway, we're all on our suitcases waiting to head to the West Coast and Sonoma Raceway for the Toyota Save Mart 350 and for the first time ever, the NASCAR Xfinity Series racing at that excellent road course. And it is our pleasure now to be talking with the Executive Vice President and General Manager of Sonoma Raceway, Jill Gregory. Jill, thanks for making time for us. Greatly appreciate it.
Good morning, guys. Nice to see you.
Jill, I got a personal question to start off with as a nice icebreaker here. What's going through your mind at the start of the week when you know that the NASCAR world is about ready to focus on your property?
You know, Doug, I think it's obviously it's excitement. It's a little bit of nervous energy, which is good because, you know, you have a, even when you have a dinner party at home, you're having all this preparation. You're wondering who's going to come and if it's going to go well. And we're going to have 50,000 of our closest friends here over the weekend. We've got a ton of great new things, but you just want to make sure that you reward the fans that are coming out here to spend their time with us this next weekend. So can't wait to welcome you guys.
You know, one of the ways I feel like you guys are rewarding the fans is by bringing the Xfinity Series, as Doug mentioned, to Sonoma Raceway for the first time ever. I think a lot of times the Xfinity Series puts on some of the best racing of the weekend that we see. What are you expecting this weekend? And have you heard from the local community that they're excited to have the Xfinity Series there in Sonoma?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, our goal is to continue to just provide as much racing content as we can. We had the Truck Series here last year, so that was great, an amazing show. And so kind of felt like we needed to continue to raise the bar, bring in the Xfinity Series here for the first time. In fact, we already have haulers on property. They just shot down here from Portland yesterday, actually. So we're going to have a whole crew early. But I think that the stars of the Xfinity Series, I mean, their whole brand platform is Names Are Made Here. And I think the chance to kind of race against some of the Cup regulars that will be in the race here on Saturday is going to make a great show for the fans.
Jill, I love the fan experience at Sonoma Raceway, from really what is one of the best fan zones and the way that it's laid out to. It almost feels like a festival atmosphere. I see a lot of people walking around the track, and the fact that you can see most of the track no matter where you're sitting, which is very unique to road courses. What are some of the things that you have planned for the fans when they arrive this weekend?
Well, it's a great point because, you know, I think that we are laid out a little bit different. So you can have a different experience regardless of where you are at the track. But we're going to have, of course, we want people to look at the great racing. But if you also want to break from that, we're going to have a kid zone, a Ferris wheel. We're going to have Lego car building. We're going to have the NASCAR experience display in addition to the Save Mart display. And you guys know Save Mart's been our partner for 30 plus years out here. And then you guys know that the fan zone here is directly behind the grandstand. So you're going to have everything you need right there. But you can also go through the tunnel and go through our turn 10 display area, which is where all the merchandise haulers will be, and a bunch of fun kids activities there, a Toyota display. And then around our road course, we kind of have four distinct terraces. And what we're doing this year is each of those terraces will also kind of have their own fan zone. In the Turn 7 terrace, for example, we're going to have live music, local bands, kind of some food and beverage trucks out there. And I think wherever you are on the track, you'll have your own experience, or you can come down to the main fan zone and see everything you want to see there.
Jill, Brad Gilley hangs out in Turn 7, by the way. Just so you
know. Oh, good. Well, Brad, you can be our honorary MC out there.
Whatever you need.
All right, okay, so put him to work. So you got a lot of celebs coming to town, I see. I'm going to let you tell the folks who they are.
Well, you know, I don't know if everybody's familiar with all of NBA legend Shaquille O'Neal's nicknames. He has several, but the one we are going to be able to experience his alter ego is DJ Diesel. So he is a very well-known DJ when he's not hosting NBA coverage. And so he'll be playing a pre-race set to kind of jazz the crowd up a little bit. And, you know, he does this kind of throughout the year. So he's going to really be, I think, a focal point of our pre-race festivities. We always have the Patriots Air Show. You guys know that's a fan favorite. Fans love to see that. We're going to have a pre-race concert on Saturday night after the Xfinity race, post-race concert with Tim Duggar, who I think a ton of fans kind of really relate to. He plays at a lot of different NASCAR races and has got some new music out. And then our grand marshal on Sunday is Adam Devine. And if you're familiar with the Pitch Perfect movies, which I am a huge fan of, he's going to be here. And he's already asking a ton of questions. What can he do? And is definitely ready to get into the pace car. So we're going to have all of that along with some players from the Sacramento Kings, the Golden State Warriors. It's really going to be a big event here this weekend.
Just so you know, it during a rain delay one year when we had to stay over, Pat Patterson and I locked ourselves in a hotel room and watched all the Pitch Perfect movies. So,
you know what? It's a binge worthy series for sure.
It certainly is.
Did you find yourself singing a cappella with
I love
Pat
those
afterwards?
Shows. I think they're fantastic.
They were. You know, Joe, we're.
Need to hear that?
No, I do not share that. No.
Put Doug on the Fan Zone stage doing the little Cups song.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
Do what Anna Kendrick did.
I would pay to see that for sure.
I bet we have a slot for him.
Joe, we are so excited about everything that's happening in Sonoma this weekend, but I wanted to ask you about something really cool that happened for you earlier this year when WISE, Women in Sports and Events, named you one of their Women of the Year. This was nominated on by national members among the organization, and you were picked as one of four Women of the Year. Can you just talk about that experience and what it meant to you?
Yeah, I really appreciate you bringing that up. You know, I know for all of us in this business, March probably seems like 5 years ago in race years, but it was an amazing honor. I think to be recognized by your peers is obviously always a huge honor, but to do it in an organization or to see it from an organization that is really focused on kind of promoting women, not just in motorsports, but in sports and events, that means a lot because I think that, you know, I think as we know, there's not always a ton of female role models. And, you know, the saying is, if you can see it, you can be it. So for the chance for me to be recognized just on all of the kind of progress that women have made in not just motorsports, but in sports in general, it was really special. Marcus Smith and Jessica Fickinger came to support the whole award in New York, and it was just really special. But most importantly, I want other females in motorsports and at our company and others to know that they can achieve a lot of great things if they want a career in motorsports.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, Kathleen Francis, who's the national board chair, president of WISE, talked about, you know, the folks that won, you and the three other women of the year, you know, not only being leaders, but being way makers, paving the way for other women in this industry. And I've been here over a decade and I've seen so much change in you know, those 11 years. Can you just talk about what it means to be, you know, an ally for women who are trying to make a name for themselves in motorsports or events, sports of any kind?
Yeah, I think it's another great question. Is it's always maybe you don't always know that you're being seen as that. You know, I think a lot of us are very type A when we're in this industry and you kind of just put your head down and do your job. But the fact that you can, you know, be a role model, whether you know it or not, or actively participate. I think as I've kind of grown in, you know, my journey, I think I've understood a little bit more what it means to somebody young, kind of making their way up, to have someone to ask a question to. You know, sometimes that's intimidating and it's not always easy. So I think that what I've seen over the years is more networking opportunities, more events. I think you guys did one in Charlotte not that long ago around the Coke 600 race, where young women that want to make their way can build some relationships and have almost a mentor or someone to look up to or ask questions to. And I think that's just really evolved over time and that's really grown a lot and it's great to see.
Wow. Congratulations on certainly a well-deserved and well-earned honor as well. Jill, I know we're talking a lot about what's going to happen with the Toyota Save Mart 350 weekend this upcoming weekend, but there are so many things to do at Sonoma Raceway, and you really notice them when you're at the track for a NASCAR weekend. Obviously, a great NHRA drag strip, all the driving schools and everything. If someone is up in the Bay Area and wants to just come check out Sonoma Raceway throughout the year, what do you guys have to offer?
Well, the summer months are really packed, as you guys would expect. We have, as you mentioned, the NHRA or Denso Nationals are at the end of July, so not too far away. That's an amazing experience. We do a Friday night qualifying here, kind of given our location. The sunsets over the hills, and the NHRA drivers have to qualify kind of staring straight into the sun, although we do a little programming there, so the sun is down. But that's a Friday night qualifying experience that's amazing, kind of unlike anything else on the NHRA circuit. The weekend prior to that, we have an event called the Ferrari Challenge. So if you want to see amazing looking cars out here, and Ferrari Red kind of papers the hills around here. You kind of come over the hills as you come visit, and you see red everywhere. But, you know, we're busy 340 plus days a year. So I think that, you know, there's a little bit of a misconception that it's a couple of big races and that's it. So, you know, there are driving school experiences. We've just invested a ton of resources into our kart track. We've got the state's largest, longest kart track. And if the wind is blowing the right way, you can see the city of San Francisco in the background of our kart track. So you can go on SonomaRaceway.com and see when our open practice days are. And one really cool thing that we do on Wednesday nights is called Wednesday Night Drags and Drifts. And so you can bring your car, whatever you're driving these days. And Doug, I'm not sure what you're driving these days, but bring out your best hot rod and you can race on the drag strip. Just run what you brung, kind of the old school. On the drag strip or in the paddock. We set up a whole drifting course on the end of the paddock here. And basically anybody can come out and run. And we have food trucks and music and those things going on a random Wednesday night. So it's a good way for us to be involved with the community. Maybe those that don't come out for our big races can come out for a pretty small fee. And even on the drag strip, you can race the California Highway Patrol and some of our local police. So we have a Top the Cops program where a lot of kids come out and try to see if they can race legally instead of what they're doing you know, kind of in their neighborhood. So a lot going on here, even when we don't have a NASCAR weekend.
Well, I would rather avoid any imperial entanglements with the California Highway Patrol, by the way. I used to work for Humpy Wheeler, and he always said there were three things fans were interested in, the three T's, as he called them: toilets, tickets, and traffic. I understand you guys have a 50-acre lot that's free to park in now, and you've got a rideshare program. So it's those kind of basic things that make the fan experience so great. Look forward to coming out there, Jill. Excited about doubleheader race weekend at Sonoma Raceway.
Yeah, can't wait to have you guys. We'll get you set up with Sonoma Valley wine and show you a great time.
Should be coming out earlier. Jill Gregory, she's the Executive Vice President and General Manager of Sonoma Raceway.
If you served in the Marine Corps, by now you know about the contaminated water problem at Camp Lejeune. If you were stationed or worked at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, you probably have a lot of questions. We have some answers. You could be entitled to compensation. Billions of dollars are being allocated to pay for damages to anyone stationed at Camp Lejeune during that time. Unfortunately, it appears that officials may have known the contaminated water problem existed and did little to protect their men. The Semper Fi Code was not honored. If you or someone in your family has developed a serious illness, including various forms of cancer, call this Camp Lejeune legal support line right now. You can't turn back the clock and change what happened, but you can certainly call right now and learn your rights as a Marine. Here's the number.
Call 800-296-1437. 800-296-1437. That's 800-296-1437. Paid for by Legal Alert Line.
I'm Justin Allgaier, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago. To care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit SpeedwayCharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
Got to do the watermelon crawl, right? Yeah, crawl. I know it.
I might have been guilty of that a time or two. Okay.
We should ask Jill. I'm sure she knows a little bit about watermelon wine.
I guarantee you they have it in Sonoma, and even though they're big for the grapes. Hey, let's move to this segment right here.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
Yeah, we read carefully prepared statements on this show. It's PRN's most popular game show. And
it's our only game show.
Well, I know. Don't say that. Don't say that. And if our panel agrees, they give it a green flag. And we hear this. And if they disagree, they give it a black flag. That's simple. Here we go. We'll start out with Brad Gilley this time around. Kyle Busch is now a fan favorite.
I would say black flag. I would say a halfway fan favorite, but not a fan favorite.
All right. Doug Rice.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say green flag, just by a little bit.
Think he's graduated?
Yeah.
All right. Alexis, break the tie.
Yeah, I'm going to say green flag, too, because I think it's going to, if he continues to win in that car, it's going to continue to go the other way for him. So I think, yeah, green flag.
All right, here we go. Doug Rice gets this one first. Follow me carefully here.
Okay.
Chase Elliott will win a race this year, make the playoffs, and then be eliminated in the first round. All right.
Green flag. Yes, that's what happens. Yes.
That
he gets to
that's the storyline.
And he doesn't go past that. I just don't like where his head's at.
Yeah, I'm going to say black flag because I'm not sure he's going to win and get in, to be honest with you. And now with this other race that he's had to not run, I'm not sure that he can point his way in either. We'll have to do the math on that.
All right, another tie. Brad Gilley.
Oh, black flag. I don't think Chase Elliott's making the playoffs.
Yeah.
No. I thought I was being snarky. Guy's out snarking me. I don't like that.
All right, let's go to this one. Alexis Erickson gets it first. The moral of the Kyle Busch story is that sometimes all you need is a change of scenery.
Yeah, absolutely. Green flag. Never say never. Change of scenery. All of those things. Yeah. They're working for him. They're working for Kyle.
What do you think, Brad?
I would say green flag, yes. A change of scenery can be a good thing. But I would also say, a leopard doesn't lose its spots or whatever the right thing is on that. Just give it time.
We got lots of cliches being thrown around.
Well, they're plentiful here. Doug Rice.
Lennon and McCartney said all you need is love and maybe a new apartment. So green flag.
All right. And we go back to Brad Gilley. First one on this one. If Carson Hocevar's brake rotor had not failed, he would have finished in the top 15.
I would say I'm going to give him a green flag. I'll turn toward the positivity of that. That would have been a tough challenge, but Carson Hocevar was working his way well up into that. So, yeah, green flag for him.
Right. Okay, Doug Rice.
I just like saying Hocevar, so yes. Sounded like Garrow on that, didn't
I? When I get to read his name from the stage, I did. I gave it a little Hocevar. How about it, Alexis?
Yeah, look, I'm all about trends, and he was trending in the right direction before that rotor broke, so... green flag.
Boy, that's fast. Record time in four questions here, Doug Rice.
All right, we got to move on because coming up, we'll put a bow on this one.
NASCAR season is here, and everyone on the Toyota Racing Team is doing their part to perform at the highest level. From driver Ty Gibbs to amateur musician Russell Viper, who's working on the perfect pre-race pump-up track for the team.
Start those Camrys up! Yeah!
To accomplish greater things this year, everyone plays a part. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, and it's so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts store.
I'm Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Wine, NASCAR, not exactly the first pairing that comes to mind, but in Sonoma, it's a classic duo. You've got 12 challenging turns for drivers, beautiful wine country, and high-energy campgrounds. It's a perfect combination all around. And after a weekend of stargazing in the sky and on the track, you'll end up wishing you discovered this classic pairing years ago. The NASCAR weekend at Sonoma Raceway, June 9th through the 11th. Get your tickets for the Toyota Save Mart 350 at SonomaRaceway.com.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Erickson. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at GoPRN.com.
I knew I really wanted to win like yesterday, and I was gonna do whatever it takes. And you know, my team did a very good job on pit road. They gave me a car that was capable of winning the race, and they put me in the position to do it. And we were able to get it done. So it was a special day for sure.
One of the cooler moments of the 2022 campaign, watching Daniel Suarez pick up so far his one and only Cup Series victory. Brad Gilley, not quite the back-to-back year we were looking for from him.
You know, he had a really good day going yesterday, and I think they've had some good fast cars this year, and I think there have just been moments where, look, Daniel's gotten in over his head just a little bit. He's had some post-race conflicts with a handful of drivers, including his teammate, Ross Chastain, like we saw at Circuit of the Americas. I think the speed is there. I just think they need to clean themselves up a little bit, and yesterday they showed the speed at Worldwide Technology Raceway.
PRN looking forward to heading to Sonoma Raceway. We'll have Xfinity action, practice and qualifying for the Cup Series, and Sunday the Toyota Save Mart 350. But right now we've got time for this.
One last thing.
All right, Brad Gilley, what do you want to say?
Well, you know, after the Coca-Cola 600, we officially transition into the summer months, and we've talked a lot about, hey, who's good right now? Who could be dominant? Who might actually be a championship contender? I think that picture gets painted over the next several races. I think what we saw in the opening 14, 15 races is now going to be much different in our next nine races, let's say, leading into the playoffs. And I'm really excited about that, because who was good in the spring might not be who is good in the summer.
One last thing, Alexis Erickson.
One last thing.
Putting the ball on the tee for you.
Unless you live under a rock, and if you do, no judgment. You've heard about the show Ted Lasso. It ended its three-season run last week with the series finale, not because it was canceled for lack of viewership, but because the creators of the show decided they had told their story in whole. I think you should watch this show. I'm sure people have recommended it to you, and you might say, nah, I don't know. I don't have time for that, or I don't have Apple TV+. Please do yourself a favor. This is such an uplifting, funny, heartwarming show, and I promise you, if you take the time to watch it, you will love it.
I agree. They don't kill off a single character. It is not
so refreshing.
It is just a breath of fresh air, to be cliche about it, but wonderful show. I took it on your advisement to start watching it. Binge watch the first two seasons, and don't bring back a sequel. Don't do a spinoff. The show ended perfectly, and let it rest there. didn't get a chance to make this point because we didn't get to do a regular show last week due to the fact that we had doubleheader racing here at Charlotte Motor Speedway on Memorial Day Monday. But I felt like the three-race stretch that we went into there from Darlington to Throwback Weekend to heading up to North Wilkesboro Speedway and all that went into bringing that place back to life. And then the Coca-Cola 600, which was sold out again for the second year in a row, just had a great trifecta for NASCAR. It was kind of throwback nostalgic time. We had the throwback weekend, the unofficial throwback weekend at North Wilkesboro, and then the legacy event that is the Coca-Cola 600. Two of those three were sold out. Darlington was close to a sellout. Worldwide Technology Raceway was sold out. So for all of the naysayers that have tried to kill off NASCAR for the last couple of years, you're a little bit ahead of yourself right now. I think the expiration date's not quite been set for this sport. Seems to be in a good place, and sometimes taking a step back allows you to move forward. That's my one last thing. Thanks to Ken Bernhardt, David Stiles, Brad Gilley, Alexis Erickson, Harold Hamrick. I'm Doug Rice. Back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. By Coca-Cola. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Take a taste and see. And Sunoco. Whether you're heading to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco UltraTech. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.